Right? Woo! You guys ready? All right. God's going to do something cool today, I think. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you once again, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. God, thank you for even just getting us here, the physical act of getting us to this place. We want to thank you for that. And now we pray, God, that you would open up our hearts, open up our intellect so we can hear and understand, but our hearts that we might be molded and shaped, especially, Lord, as we just continue looking kind of in a section here in Romans chapter 2 that sort of, well, Lord, it hits home. And it's maybe talking about us. So, God, I pray that we would be men and women who desire to honor you with our lives, who desire to change, no matter what the cost, no matter, you know, what it is, that we would do that, and that you would bless this time, God, and that you would be present, and you would be honored and glorified in it, in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, as we're studying Romans, I want to remind us again, remember our theme in Romans is all about how great our salvation is. Remember 16 and 17, right? 1:16 and 17, we got the theme from those verses. Paul writes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, then also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. That's what we're looking at. And listen, we don't know that, and you can't know that until you understand really how sinful sin is. And Paul has been doing that. And I believe, you know, the rest of chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 are to set us up to get us to understand sin is sinful and it's ugly. And listen, he hits it from every aspect, and that's what I like. And a couple of weeks ago, we looked at just sin in and of itself and looked at that and went, wow, that was kind of a hard message. That was one for me that was kind of difficult to get through because we named some sins and some people get hurt and offended, and hopefully it's the Bible. Then last week we looked at the moral person and kind of that sort of hit home, and I had shared with the body, you know, the week before was kind of hard, but this week's even harder because I'm talking about some of us. Well, now this week's even harder, because I'm talking about more of us. Because this is all about religious people. This is all about people who have the externals and kind of put on the show. And we call them hypocrites. And they're often the reason why a lot of people don't go to church. So listen, it's going to be kind of one of those messages. And it's a good thing to just check our hearts. What I love about going through the Bible this way is it causes us to do a little self-examining. Hey, how am I doing? Am I doing okay? There's nothing wrong with checking out how you are in Christ. So what Paul, bottom line, is going to do here today is he's going to bust some people on their external and the way they're acting, but it isn't a true inside conversion of what's going on. Jesus touched on that. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, listen to what he says. He says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Listen, Jesus is there talking about relationship. We're supposed to have a relationship. It's not the things that we, quote, say and do. Listen, I believe the things we say and do should be the fruit of that relationship, not what we put our faith in. And the problem with the Jews of that generation, and I think Jews who had come into Christianity, is their faith is in externals and their faith is in other things. So Paul's going to call them out. And here's what I think is kind of interesting. The things that Paul says to this group, only another Jew could say to a Jew. Listen, you don't want to be outside of Judaism and try and tell a Jew the things that he's saying. And so listen, he gets real direct with them, talks about them putting their faith in just the law, the fact that they have the law, that makes them something special and that's going to get them to heaven. And then he picks on their external sign, the whole idea of circumcision. So listen, it's going to take a while to work through each one of those, but listen, Paul calls them out on it in a big, big way. And I read this and I think, man, this guy had to have some guts to do this in the first century and to say the things that he's saying. And like I said, only he could do that. So here's what Paul's saying. You may have some external signs, and you might have the right words. But the reality is, what's going on inside? And what has happened inside? I was looking over here at my brothers over here, the Raider Nation kind of going on, and I'm thinking, they got the jerseys, but they're not the team. Sorry, bros. Sorry. You guys just like warm. Listen, isn't that, what a great analogy today. Thanks for wearing them. Hey, they're not the team. They're not even on the team. They're not even the water boys for the team. And what does that tell you? You can dress all up, but you're not it. Well, you know what? Sad to say, I owe you. Sad to say, that's why I like the last service. You guys give me great illustrations. Some of us do that in Christianity. We put on the clothes and we act the part. So listen, Paul is speaking to Jews, but this isn't, don't just relegate this and say, oh, it's for those Jews. Let's bring it home. And you could replace Jew here with Christian. You could just put that in there and kind of bring it back to us. So listen what he says. And I'm going to read 17 through 20, and then we're going to kind of break it down because that's one long sentence. Paul says, indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having a form of knowledge and truth in the law. So listen, Paul lists some things that I think are, number one, I think they're good things. But they're good things that this group or these people made bad. And we can do that. Listen, as the body of Christ today, we can do the same exact thing. So first of all, he lists six different things, six facts about them that are, bottom line, pulling them down. Number one, he says, indeed, you are called a Jew. The first thing, hey, do you know that in that generation, a Jew loved being a Jew? I think every generation, the one thing I know is we go on our trips to Israel and you run into Jewish people. They're very proud of being a Jew. They own that, you know. They're not like, well, maybe I'm a Jew, maybe I'm not a Jew. They're proud of that, but especially in the first century. Do you realize in the first century that as Rome would conquer the world and conquer places, they crushed every religious system that they conquered except Judaism? The Jews continued to practice Judaism in the midst of being governed and run by Rome. And a lot of Jews in the first century, they would add Jew to the end of their name. That's how proud they were. They would be like, Pat Lazovich, Jew. And kind of stamp it on there. And listen, so here's what Paul's saying. You guys are putting all of your faith in being a Jew. Just because you're a Jew doesn't mean you're going to heaven. It's not what gets you to heaven. But they were becoming dependent on that. They were wearing that as a badge of, I'm going to heaven and you're not. Too bad you're not a Jew. I bet you wish you were a Jew, you know, kind of thing. And so the first thing he calls them out is on just the fact that they use that. The second thing he calls them out on is he says, and you rest on the law. Listen carefully, not that they rest in the law, that they rest on the law. You see, the Jews would say, not only am I a Jew, oh, by the way, the word Jew is an abbreviation of the word for the tribe of Judah, right? The main one, remember, if you're here on Thursday nights, and if you're not, you're missing a lot. We'll talk about it later, but listen. They had the civil war. You have Israel to the north and Judah to the south, right? So Jew is just an abbreviation of Judah. But you know what Judah means? Praise. So here's what's going on. Paul says, not only do you, you know, call yourself praise, but then you rest on the law. Here's what the Jews would do. Well, we have the law. Too bad you don't have the law. But we have the law. And they would begin to boast in that. Now, is this kind of sounding a little bit familiar in our generation? You see, we have this, and you guys don't have that. God gave us this moral standard. We're not living up to it by any stretch of the imagination, but we have it. So now they're putting their faith on their ethnicity, their race, getting them to heaven. They also put their faith on the fact that God revealed himself to them through the law. And not only do they do that, and listen, they boast in God. He says, you make your boast in God. Not in the fact that they have a relationship with God, in the fact that God is part of who they are and integrated into who they are. Once again, just a head knowledge, and they boast. Well, do you know our boast is in God? Not the fact that God saved them, reached down out of heaven and touched them. The fact that, you know, hey, we're Jews, and our God is God. Oh, and then, listen, it just, and then, verse 18, and know his will. I've said it often, you can know the revealed will of God by reading Scripture. And that's what Paul's talking about here. They know what God's will is. They have his moral standard, they have his law, they know what it says. And listen, you can get tons of information in your life, and that's not going to justify you. The only thing that's going to justify you is a relationship with Jesus Christ and get under the blood of Jesus. And I'm getting a little bit ahead, but listen, they said, well, we know the will of God. The rest of you Gentiles, sorry. Do you remember most Jews in the first century thought Gentiles, that's most of us. I think almost everybody in here is a Gentile. If you're not Jew, you're a Gentile. And the Jews believed that God made us just for cordwood to burn the fires of hell. That's what they would talk about. The Jews were very proud people. And so listen, they go, well, we have the law. You Gentiles don't. And we know the will of God. And he's revealed his will to us. He didn't reveal his will to you. Kind of getting the idea. Now listen, we look at the first century and go back and study the first century Judaism. And that's exactly where they were at. Oh, well, let's do the rest of it. And then they approve of things that are excellent or approve of things that are right. Why? Because God revealed the law to them, revealed himself to them. Then they have the moral law and they approve of it. Yes, that's a good thing to do. Too bad we don't do it. But that's a good thing to do, right? And they approve of what's excellent, and they kind of put it in the face of other people. Oh, and then the last thing they do, listen, the last thing they do is they boast about being instructed. We have great teachers. We have these rabbis who have studied for centuries to instruct us in the law. Now, they would go around boasting in all of that. That's what they were putting their faith in. That's what they were trusting to get them to heaven, to save them. Now, let me ask you something. Couldn't you put the name Christian in this very thing and look at our generation and see what so many who named the name of Christ are doing the same exact thing? They boast in the fact that, oh, we have the Bible. And listen, you guys know, I believe that we should understand this and know this and believe this. But you know what? It's not something that you go, well, we have the Bible, too bad you don't have the Bible. And then God, we know God. And you know, listen, I see a lot of Christians and a lot of Christian ministries that go around acting like they're a cut above everybody else. Do you know who we are? Do you really know who we are? Look around this room. We're a bunch of sinners that God reached down out of heaven by his grace and redeemed us. And that's the only thing we got going for us, if we're really honest. Listen, as far as getting to heaven. And we come across to the world just exactly like Paul put out here. And we go, well, we know what's moral and right. And we act like the rest of the world's sort of unclean and untouchable. You know what bugs me when Christians do that? It's okay to touch the world, right? Some of you, listen, a lot of you are involved in places where you come in contact. But we act like, well, I don't want to have any worldly friends. Some of us don't need that. I get that. But most of us do. We need a few good pagans hanging out with us to teach us, listen, to teach us and to sharpen us and to put us in place. So Paul here is saying, you guys get all uppity about, and bottom line, here's the bottom line for the Jew. They're all uppity about the law. We received the law, you didn't. That makes us special and not you. And even today, they're sort of that way. Now look, he's not done. He just kind of laid out facts. And as I said, these things in and of themselves are not evil, but they made them evil. And then, listen, then he goes on and he says, verse 19, this is where it gets real haughty, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, and a teacher of babes. Does that sound a little bit arrogant? Right? You know, hey, can I give you a cane? Because you're a little blind. And sometimes we act and we treat the world that way, don't we? We act like the world's full of a bunch of buffoons and we're the only ones that have anything. And we got to be careful of that. And I like this, you know, you're a guide to the blind and you're an instructor of the foolish. You're a light to those in darkness. And my favorite one is you're a teacher of the babes. Like everybody is below you. You know, sometimes even in Christianity we get that way, don't we? Sometimes in Christianity it's like, well, if you were as mature as I was or am, you would know what I know. I remember as a new Christian, and you know, here's the thing, man. I believe if you're teaching and handling God's word, you need to be careful. Even if it's in a small little group, even if it's with your children, you need to be careful. I remember as a new believer in the 80s, and I was at a Bible study, and someone brought out a Strong's Concordance. Now, a lot of people don't use those now. We got phone, you know, you can look it up on your phone quicker than a Strong's. But if any of you remember, Strong's was a big old honking book. It seemed like it was like, I remember this person brought it out, and I thought, oh, I've never seen a book that big in my entire life. You must be smart. I thought, they must be brilliant. And then he put it down. And then they opened it. And I'm like amazed. And I'm looking at this thing. This is great. And they looked up a word. Listen, they looked up a word that we were looking in the Bible passage. And they go, here's the word. And here's what it means. And I go, cool. That is an awesome thing. And I'm like mesmerized. And I'm a new Christian. And then I go, what are those numbers by the word? And they go, oh, you're too young in the Lord to understand. I'm a very hard-headed person. And the minute they said that, I thought, bet me I'm too young in the Lord to understand. I'm going to go get me one of those things. I'm going to find one of those things. I'm going to buy me a big book. And I'm going to have my own big book. And I went and got one, man. And I looked it up. And I looked. And you know what the numbers were? All the numbers were is a reference to the back to the original, whether it was Greek or Hebrew. That's all they were. I'm too young to understand that. That's a little arrogant, isn't it? Oh, you're a teacher of the babes. See, that bothers me, not just outside of Christianity, but within Christianity when people act that way. Listen, we're all in this together. And we exercise our gifts according to the gifts that God has given us. And some of us, He gives the gift of teaching. And those of us who have the gift of teaching, we want to exercise that so the entire body can be built up and strengthened. And we can do what God has called us to do. And everybody has a part in this. It's not one person. We're all in this thing together. And I think it's so important, especially, I believe, in teaching. Listen, if you're a good teacher, you're going to get under people and you're going to lift them up. You're not going to treat them like, well, you're blind and you're foolish and you're in the dark and you're a babe. No, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get under and you're going to lift them up so that they can realize the potential that they have in Christ. And so Paul says, listen, this is what you're doing. And that's what Judaism was doing in his day. And I think it was breaking his heart. Because Judaism originally started out, what? They started out to reveal God to the world. That's why God invented them. Okay, so listen, he's not done. Oh, he's going to get harder and harder. You therefore, look at verse 21. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? So here's what James is saying. Oh, you guys are such good teachers and you think you're all that. Do you ever bother to teach yourselves? James in chapter 1, this applies in a little bit different, but I think it applies here. James says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. You are going to be held accountable for the light you have been given. And you need to understand that. And God is going to hold all of us. Listen, I'm not talking about unto condemnation. If you're in Christ, you're saved. You're going to heaven. Jesus died for your sins, you're going. But you know what? There's that reward day where we come before Him, we come before the Bema Seat of Christ. He's going to give us things that we've done. You're going to be accountable. He's going to say, what did you do with all that technology you had? You had 35 versions on your iPhone. Did you use them? No, but it was cool. And when other people came, I could go, instead of opening a Strong's Concordance, I could go, check this out. So listen, he says, why aren't you guys teaching yourselves? Why aren't you doing that? And then now, listen, now he really gets on them. You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? Or you who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Or you who abhor idols, do you rob temples? Listen, I love this, man. Like, Paul is getting all up in their grill. Right? And he's letting us know, he's letting them know, you guys are blowing it so bad. And you're going around and you're doing these things. And listen, you have the issue, not the people you're going to. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 says it a different way. You know what? Read Matthew chapter 7 for homework. We refer to it twice, so you kind of got to get the whole chapter, right? As a matter of fact, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 to get the whole context of the Sermon on the Mount and get that way. But listen what Jesus, I'm just going to paraphrase. This is a part where Jesus says, judge not lest you be judged. Everybody loves that part. He goes on. Listen, he doesn't stop there. By the way, don't use your Bible for magical incantations. Like, don't just spew a verse out there and think it's going to do something. Listen, Jesus is giving a thought. He says, don't judge lest you be judged. And then he says, listen, when you go to that person that has a little speck in their eye and you want to help them get the speck out of their eye, like, you know, when you get something in your eye, you're going, okay. Us guys, we start wondering, oh, honey, get this. And your wife comes, right, and gets it out of your eye. And he says, listen, you who want to get the speck out of your brother's eye, don't try to do that when you got this big old honking power pole coming out of your eye, right? You got an 8x8 sticking in there, and here's what Jesus is saying. You got this thing going, and you're going to poke out all of his eyes trying to help him, right? And what does Jesus say? He says, so then walk away. That's not what he says, right? What does he say? First, take the power pole out of your own eye. Then, what does he say? You can see clearly to get the speck out of your brother's eye. Jesus is saying, get it together to help that person out. Don't be this judgmental, self-righteous, condemning person going and trying to poke somebody's eye out. I love that. Well, that's what Paul's telling these guys. Listen, he goes, you guys tell people not to steal. Do you steal? He's asking them, do you steal? Of course they steal. They were a bunch of thieves. Hey, these are the guys that set up the whole thing in the temple area, and they're ripping people off big time. They're charging them exuberant prices to get a little lamb to go sacrifice. Oh, if you want a dove, you can't bring your dove. Really? You're going to bring that dove from Galilee? Not going to work here. Oh, give us your dove and 45 shekels, and we'll give you a dove that'll work. That's called stealing, right? And he's doing that. Listen, and he calls them out on it. Oh, Jesus, not Jesus, God in Malachi. Listen to what God says in Malachi. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And God says, in tithes and offerings. That's what these guys were doing too. They were ripping God off. They weren't giving what they were supposed to give in the Old Testament. And listen, I love this. Paul says, oh, you guys say you shouldn't steal? You stealing? Well, that's got to hurt, right? Oh, and then he takes it the next step. He goes, oh, you guys teach against adultery? Are you committing adultery? Of course they were committing adultery. Jesus called them the biggest adulterous generation. And I don't think he was just talking spiritually. Remember when we studied divorce in Mark chapter 10? Remember they had the rabbis who had readjusted everything according to the writings? And hey, they said, you know what, man, if your wife burns the eggs, I was going to say bacon, eggs, you can divorce her. You can just tell her, I don't love you anymore, you burnt the eggs, out of here. And you write her a certificate of divorce. Or how about this one? You find a prettier lady. You just write her a certificate of divorce. You're not pretty enough, I guess. I'm divorcing you, you're ugly. That's kind of weird, that's kind of hurtful. And here's what Jesus said. No, that doesn't count. When you guys are doing that, you're committing adultery. Huh. What is Paul calling them out? They're doing that. Oh, and then the last one, he goes, hey, you guys who abhor idols, one thing you got to know about Israel. When they were taken captive, when God, and we're studying this on Thursday nights, and when God finally takes them captive by the Babylonians and takes them out of the land for 70 years, a lot of that had to do with their idolatry and their idol worship. Do you know they went into Babylon? Babylon was the heart of idolatry. They perfected worshiping idols. And Israel had to live in the midst of that. Do you know ever since they came back from Babylon, they never, ever did idolatry again. It was such a bad taste. Even today when you go on the Israel trip, when we go there and you go up to Mount Carmel. There's a big statue of Elijah standing on the head of the other prophets. The Jews will not look at that. They will turn their back on that as they go by because in their mind that's an idol. They're very, very strong about idols. And ever since that captivity, and here's what Paul says. Oh, you guys who abhor idols, which they do. He goes, really? Oh, do you rob temples? Do you know what they were doing? You know what these Jews were doing in the first century? They would go into Gentile areas and they would take all the idols out. They would say, you guys are heathens worshiping these idols. They would take them and collect them, and you know what they'd do? Then they'd go sell them. Bunch of hypocrites, huh? Doesn't it sound like people? Doesn't it sound like you look at these guys and you're going, this is not good. Oh, he says, you, verse 23, you who make a boast in the law. So here's the thing. Oh, we are, right? Verses 17 and 18, we're all this. Here's what Paul says. You who make that boast, he says, do you dishonor God through your breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Man, that's painful. You see, Paul's calling them out, and here's what Paul's saying. You who were created to represent God are now dishonoring God, and you're dishonoring the name of God, and the Gentiles are mocking God because of you. I believe Paul here, as he says, as it is written, is referring to Isaiah 52 and Ezekiel 36. You can look those up, and here's the interesting thing. Isaiah 52 and Ezekiel 36 are the time where they had been taken out into the Babylonian captivity. God had removed them from the land because of their idolatry. You know what the Gentiles were saying during that time? Oh, where's Israel's God now? How come Israel God couldn't protect them from us? We came in and we beat them up. Therefore, we beat Israel. You kind of getting the idea? And they're mocking and making fun of Israel's God. So Paul says, this is what you cause by being hypocrites. Now, here's what I got to ask you. Who does the most damage to the church of Jesus Christ? Hypocrites. Right? Those people who name the name of Christ and then do the most bizarre things, and then you guys know more than I. You guys work with people, and those people tell you, oh, yeah, I know about your God. What about? And you can fill in the blank of the latest person who fell morally or whatever. Listen, and it's always on the news, and it's always big time, and I don't want to bring up those kind of names because we don't want to get into all of that name calling. But listen, hypocrites, they're the ones who damage, and they damage, and then you got to do damage control, right? People ask you, really? Really? That God? You got the same God as so-and-so? Because that didn't work out too well for him. Look at him. And now we got to go on a defensive, right? Oh, man, there are some people, I got to be really honest, there are some people I don't want them to tell anybody they're a Christian. Would you please not let anybody know? Just tell them. Don't tell them. Don't let them know. There was a guy when I first got saved in Bisbee, and I'm surely not going to say his name, I hope. But listen, man, he was such a bad witness. And here's the crazy thing. He witnessed to everybody. You know, it's the thing that blows my mind, a lot of us have a great witness and a great testimony, and we don't tell anybody. This guy had a horrible testimony, and he would tell everybody, and I'd think, Josh, stop. Please stop. I remember, here's the crazy thing. I saw him before I got saved at an event in Bisbee that I was at, and I was not saved, and I was wasted. And I saw this guy, and he's getting wasted with us. Then a few years later, I got saved. I went to a prayer meeting. He's at the prayer meeting, and someone introduced him to me, and I go, well, I know you. I knew you before you were saved. He goes, oh, I've been saved for 10 years. I go, 2 years ago, you sure weren't acting like it, bro. You know, you were doing things that, you know, I was doing in the world that were edgy, and you were right there with me. And listen, then he would witness, and then I remember one time I went and witnessed to this guy that had a shop, and I said, hey, man, I just want to share Jesus with you. He goes, oh, yeah, like, fill in the blank. He goes, I'm not interested in that God. Painful, isn't it? And we got to come up with stuff. Listen, and that's what Paul's saying. Yeah, you have this 17 and 18. Those can be some good things, but you've turned them around and you've made them bad things. And here's what happens now with your lifestyle and with what's going on. Because listen to me carefully. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. You're not going to make it. And the harder you try, the more damaging your testimony is going to be. And you need the Holy Spirit to produce fruit in your life so people can see the fruit hanging on you. Not because you follow this set of rules and regulations. You're going to have fruit. The Holy Spirit is going to work on you. And then people are going to come to you and go, "What do you have?" "Well, I have this thing called Jesus." And then you begin to testify and you begin to witness. But these guys, listen, they're dishonoring God. Now, here's where it gets kind of crazy. Now Paul really gets in their face. Oh, he's just touched the tip of the iceberg. Look at verse 25. "For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law." Here's what Paul does. He brings up circumcision. What are the two things? You go to Israel today even. What are the two things that is important to every single Jew? Number one, the law, the Torah. Number two, circumcision. That's it, man. That is everything to them. So here's what Paul says. Oh, you guys, he goes, circumcision is profitable if you keep the law. But if you're a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. That's not a good thing to tell a Jew. It's never good to tell a Jew. I think only another Jew could say that to a Jew. To tell him, you do this, you're as though you're not circumcised. That's like slapping him upside the head with the worst of the worst insults you could do. And Paul says, but that's what's going on with you guys. You see, because circumcision didn't save them. Do you understand that circumcision was a sign God gave them? So that they would have this sign that would show that they belong to Him. And you can have the outward sign, but if there's nothing inward, the sign is useless, right? Don't we understand that? Hey, I wear a wedding band. I wear a wedding band not so that I will keep it together. I wear a wedding band as a symbol that I'm married to my wife. And listen, if I go out and I cheat on my wife with my wedding band on, what does that make my wedding band? Nothing. Nothing. Just some external piece of jewelry. And here's what Paul's saying. That's what happens when you who are circumcised, you go and you don't trust God and you don't live for God. Therefore, you're declaring to the world you're not circumcised. Oh, he takes it a step further. This is the one that's fighting words now. Verse 26, "Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law?" Woo! I dare you, go to Israel today. Go to Ben Yehuda. Go on our next trip. Go to Ben Yehuda Street. Get up on a platform and read those two verses out loud, really loud, when I'm not around. A Jew would come uncorked on you for even thinking. Here's what Paul's saying. You're a Gentile. And a Gentile is going to judge you. That, in their whole frame of thinking, especially first century, but even today, wow, man, that's a powder keg. But he's right, isn't he? Now, here's kind of the fascinating thing as you study this and as you look at this. Circumcised or uncircumcised, you're not going to keep the law. Do you understand? Here's the problem. The problem isn't with the law. The problem is with us. And you need to understand, the law was given not as a moral code, not as something, here's what we have to live up to, here's what we have to do. What was the law given for? Do you guys ever read the book of Galatians? What was the law given for? The law was given as a tutor, as a teacher. God gave the law so that we could understand one thing, how bad we really are. He didn't give the law saying, you know, you do all of this. Well, you kind of said it. You do all this, you get to heaven. You can't do that. There's only one person who ever did it, Jesus. He gave the law so that we would know, once again, how sinful sin is. So Paul here is just using a little bit of hyperbole, and he's sort of getting in their face, but he's letting them know something. You see, it's not about external things. Now listen, we live in a generation. Circumcision and uncircumcision, that doesn't click with us. So we could fill in other words, couldn't we? How about baptism? Hey, some Christians go, I was baptized in whatever. Well, whoopee dingo. Doesn't matter when you were baptized, you know Jesus. You know, I had a very, very good friend. He died a few years ago. He's a guy that I started a friendship with in kindergarten. And we maintained our friendship till he died. And I remember, and he kind of went one direction, I went another direction in life, and especially once I got saved. And I remember, but we always kept in contact. We always had this bond. And I remember after I came back from Bible college, he called me, and his truck needed water, his cement truck. Hey, Pat, can I come and get some water? I go, yeah. So I'm talking to him. I go, you know, hopefully not say his name because some of you may know him, but I said, hey, I go, you know what, you need Jesus. You know, because now I'm fired up. I'm done with Bible college. I'm ready. I go, man, you need Jesus. He goes, I got Jesus. And I go, dude, you so don't have Jesus. I mean, this guy was doing drugs. He was an alcoholic. He was fornicating with all kinds of different women. I mean, you know, and he goes, no, I got Jesus. I go, dude, you do not have Jesus. So I get my Bible out and I read Corinthians to him. These will not inherit the kingdom of God. There, that's for you. And here's the crazy thing. We're filling up his truck with water, and it's like God kinked the hose because he was there for like an hour, and the water's running in his truck. Anyway, so listen. And then he says, yeah, but I went forward when I was 10. I went forward in a church, and I received Jesus. And he says, listen, and then I was baptized. And I go, I don't know what happened then, but I'm going to tell you something. You're not living it right now. And right now, the evidence is you are not going to heaven. I'm just reading the Bible to you. You know, and the sad thing is, he started coming to Bible study for a little bit, but his wife at that time, who was one of the people he was fornicating with, his wife at that time did not want to get clean. And she drug him back into it. And 2 years later, he died of an overdose. It's sad. It's a sad story. It breaks my heart every time I think of it. And, you know, I'm just praying during that time, maybe something clicked, something happened. But listen, he was trusting in, I walked forward at 10. His life never demonstrated any change, never demonstrated. And listen, we put trust in those external things. Now, some of you may say, how do you know he wasn't saved? By the lifestyle he was living. That's how I know. He was living, he was never. Hey, I knew him since kindergarten. I sinned with this guy since we were 5 years old. Come on. You know, it's like, hey. And some of us were trusting in baptism. Sitting here today, you're trusting in, some of you are trusting, well, you know, my name's on this church roll. Not this one, because we don't have a roll. But someplace, you go, my name, I joined this church. It was founded in, you know, 1695, and it's been around forever, and my church, my name's there. You really think Jesus is going to say, oh, let me check this church roll? You get my point? Some of us are trusting in our parents' profession of faith. Maybe some of his grandparents. Listen, he's saying circumcision here, but you could put anything in there that's external. If you're trusting in that external thing to be saved, you're trusting in the wrong thing. Baptism does not save you, period. Should we get baptized? Absolutely. Why? Because Jesus said so. Listen, if you're saying, I'm giving my life to Jesus and I'm going to follow him, and then you go, except I'm not getting baptized, that's not really following him, is it? You're going, no, I don't want to do that. Listen, I think it's extremely important, but it's not what saves you. So Paul, do you understand? Paul's saying, look at the external, again, using the Raider Nation over here. Just because they got the jerseys doesn't make them part of the team, doesn't make them on the team and part of that. So look what Paul says. For, listen what he says, verse 28, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. He's not a Christian who has all the symbols on. You can wear crosses, you can have it tattooed on you, you can do all that stuff. He says, listen, you're not a Jew or a Christian who's one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Man, what a play on words on praise, right? What does Jew mean, praise? And he says, man, listen, when you're born again and you're genuinely saved, your praise is from God, not from man. You're not living up to the expectation of man. And then I love the idea, he says it's an inward work. Did you pick up on that? And in my Bible, spirit is capitalized. Because I believe Paul is speaking of the Holy Spirit working within us. The only way you're ever going to change, person, Christian, is by the Holy Spirit of God working in you. You can't determine to be good enough. It doesn't work. You're going to fail at some point. You're going to like disconnect at some point. But when the Spirit comes in and the Spirit begins to work, He changes you. And listen carefully. Can you look back in your life and go, man, I look back at that Pat who was before Christ. That's a stranger to me. I don't even know that person anymore. Listen, now I've walked with the Lord for a while. Some of you have walked with the Lord for 2 weeks. And you're like, woo, man, I've changed. I remember when I first got saved, this is a story just for you guys. When I first got saved, I went to a Bible study, that same Bible study that had the big concordance. And I walked in one time, and man, I'm stoked that God had worked in my life. This is just for somebody here today, I think. Listen, and I'm so excited. And the guys are going, why are you excited? I go, Jesus is changing me. I'd been saved for like 2 weeks. I pretended to be a Christian before that, but now I'm really saved. And I'm like excited. I go, He's really working in me. And they go, what happened? I go, man, I went to the Circle K and I bought a 12-pack of beer, and the guy gave me the wrong change, and I corrected him and gave him and made sure he did the right change. I was so proud. And they're going, they're just like glaring at me. You were doing what? I go, and I'm all excited. And they kind of squashed it because they were mature Christians. You know, mature Christians don't buy 12-packs. And I'm like, yay! And then they kind of, and I went, oh. So I went home and went, yay! Because God worked in me. Listen, is He changing you? Here's my point. 2 weeks before that, I would have taken that money and more if I had the opportunity. And I was so glad that God was changing. Is He changing you? Is He working on the inside? One last scripture. Listen, Matthew 21. Do you know the story? This is the story of the two brothers, and it kind of fits right here. This is the two brothers. Remember, Jesus talks about the father going to his sons, and he goes to the first son. He goes, hey, son, would you put down the video game? Would you go out, and would you take care of the weeds in the yard? And the son goes, forget you, Dad. I'm in the middle of this game, man, and I'm online, and I got to beat this guy. I ain't going. Get out of here. And the dad leaves, and the son goes, wow, that's kind of rude to Dad. And he goes out, and he cleans the yard. Dad goes to the second son. He goes, son, would you go out and clean the yard? And he's like, just hanging out. He goes, sure, Dad, I got nothing else. So I'm going to go clean the yard. And Dad leaves, and the second son goes, I'm not going out in that heat. You know how hot it is? I'm not going to clean a yard, fool. And Jesus says, which one did the will of God? You can say all kinds of things, right? But it's not what you say, it's what you do. And our testimony is by what we do. Some of us are the only Bible people are ever going to read, and they're going to do it by watching us. That good friend I told you about, after I got saved, before I went to Bible college, after I got saved and I'd been saved for a while, he came up to my shop in Bisbee, and he was talking to me, and I was talking about, I was struggling with something. I was having just a hard time struggling, and he goes, ah. He goes, that being a Christian is kind of a hard thing, huh? This is the guy who was saved, right? He goes, oh, Pat, that being a Christian is kind of a hard thing, huh? And I go, yeah, it is, man. It's tough. Especially with dorks like you around. But I says, it's tough. And he goes, yeah. And then I go, but here's the cool thing. I got the Holy Spirit changing me and molding me and shaping me. You see, that's what it's all about. So my question today, so I'm just going to be real frank. Are you a hypocrite or not? Only you can answer that. I can't answer that for you. I can't look in your heart and see what's in there. Only you can answer that. And here's the greatest news. Listen, if you are a hypocrite, change. Today can be the day you change. I don't care if you've come to this church for 20 years. If you've been a hypocrite and you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ and trusted Him, do it today. And here's what the devil's going to tell you right now. Man, you don't want to do that because, man, that's going to be harsh. And people may know. Yeah, well, they may. But listen carefully. There's never any shame in coming to Jesus. You come to Jesus, all there is forgiveness and freedom. And that's what He wants to do for you. So listen, if you're that hypocrite, today, change today, please. Or maybe somebody brought you today and you're going, this is the weirdest message I ever sat through. But God's still got a hold of your heart. And if you want Jesus today, you make that decision to follow Him. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the challenge of Your word. And God, as I think about how you challenged us and Lord, just going through this, I know, probably all of us right now standing here can think of some things we need to fix, we need to readjust. We kind of go through that and we think, man, yeah, you know what, I have kind of been depending on this, or I have been kind of having that attitude, or whatever, Lord, I just know, because I know what this message has done to my heart over the last week. And so, God, I do pray that you would have your way with us, and Lord, grant us that gift of repentance right now, and that gift of faith in trusting you and being those people who will walk with you. And Lord, those who will give our hearts and our lives so that you can change. Just the songs we sang today, how perfect they are for those of us who really are going to be faithful in that. And now I'm going to ask all of us, stay in that place and that attitude of prayer for another couple minutes. And you know what? If you are here today and the Lord definitely spoke to you, whether you're somebody who you've been faking it for a while or for a long time, or you're somebody who you're here and you know you need salvation. Here's the thing, we're going to give you that opportunity right now. The Bible's very clear, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And everybody needs to come to Jesus. And the choice is yours today. So if you're standing here, and again, you've never done it, and you know by now you're a sinner, it's pretty clear to you. Hey, you know what? Come to Jesus. Give him your heart. Give him your life. Ask him to come in and change you. Or if you're that person that I talked about and you need to do that radical change, you need to make that step. You need to quit being a hypocrite. Do it today. So I'm going to say a prayer, and as I say this prayer, you can say it with me out loud or you can say it silently. I'm just trying to help verbalize what's going on in your heart and your life. And so as I say this, you can say it with me. And as I said, out loud or quietly, volume doesn't matter. What matters is your heart. You need to be sincere with this prayer. Jesus, today, right now, I confess to you that I am a sinner. And I'm sorry for my sin. Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me. Thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you right now for your forgiveness. And now I want you to come into my life. And I want you to come into my heart. I'm asking you to change me. Today, I want you to be my Lord. And I want you to be my Savior. If that's the cry of your heart here this afternoon and you said that prayer or something like it and you meant it sincerely, I'm going to ask you just to lift up your hand, lift it up high so we can encourage you and pray for you. Anyone in here, I see yours up here. God bless you. I see yours up here. God bless you. Anyone else? Greatest decision you'll ever make. Father, we thank you for those couple hands that went up and for those individuals. And we pray now, God, that you would so work in their lives, encourage them and strengthen them. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would take them to that place of understanding by your Spirit, that they can grasp the depth of your love and your forgiveness, the depth of the cleansing power of your blood. Jesus, fill them with the knowledge of that, with your Spirit. And I pray that they would know right now that their guilt and their shame is all washed away. And in this moment, in this time, that they've been set free from the bondage of sin. That they no longer have to sin. They're free from that, set free. And God, help them to realize they can walk with you and honor you today with their life. And I pray that for all of us, God. We want to honor you. We want to bring you glory. And we want to see the world understand and know our God like we understand and know our God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's celebrate with those who made that decision.